This past week, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states can allow the creation of sports betting operations at locations including casinos and racetracks. New Jersey led this legal battle, which started all the way back in 2012, technically. My next guest joins us to review the background of this legal action, the objections that it had faced along the way, and how it's really not just a financial win for states, but it's also a victory for states' rights in a variety of ways. She's a senior fellow and consumer policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Michelle Minton. How are you today, Michelle?
Good. How are you doing?
Great to have you here at CEI.org. Learn more about this and the other issues of focus for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And I mentioned in the intro, this really dates back to around 2012 when New Jersey tried to get sports betting into play, because up to this point, Nevada's had pretty much a monopoly on that situation, save the various illegal sports books that have existed all these years. What changed between the Supreme Court first ruling against the idea and what happened this past week?
Really, there was another court case in between. So New Jersey tried to just straight legalize sports betting, which the sports league said violated federal law. And so during that first case, the judge said, or the Solicitor General argued that, look, if New Jersey wants to eliminate all of its prohibitions on sports gambling, that wouldn't violate the law. Therefore, it's not commandeering. We're not telling them they have to do something. So New Jersey said, light bulb, okay, we'll do that then. So in 2016, they tried to do that. They tried to just decriminalize sports gambling, and the league sued again. And the Solicitor General said, no, that still violates federal law. And I think that's really why the Supreme Court took it up, is because they said, you're giving us two different arguments. Is this or is this not what we call commandeering, the federal government telling a state you have to do a specific thing, which would be a violation of the Constitution? And ultimately, that's what the Supreme Court found. They said, preventing a state from repealing its own laws counts as commandeering. You cannot tell state legislatures what they have to do.
So in effect, the ones who were against it ruined their own case against it.
Yeah, basically. I think by flip-flopping their arguments and not really giving the court a very clear distinction with what New Jersey could do, that's what really got the court's interest. And they felt the need, the justices felt the need, to bring some clarity to what is an incredibly important structural issue for our country, is where's the line? Where is the power that Congress has? Where does it end over the states? And this really drew a very clear line that goes well beyond sports gambling. It's, if you're a state and you want to decriminalize something, doesn't necessarily make it federally legal, but we can't tell you that you can't do that.
So when you read the ruling, the majority ruling from the Supreme Court, does it stress more the state's rights aspect versus the problem with the Professional Amateur Sports Protection Act?
It's a little bit of both, right? So what they did, and it was kind of a surprise to some, they could have just said, well, what New Jersey does hasn't violated the law, therefore they win, leaving the law in place. But I think most of the justices recognize that the law itself, and this is something the Department of Justice said back in 1991 when the law was first being considered, they said this has constitutional problems. And so the court, the justices, saw that and decided to look at the entire law, and they said, this does not fly. You cannot, the law is written specifically aimed at states. It says the only kind of sports gambling that it makes illegal under the federal law is the kind that is pursuant to state law, meaning the only kind it criminalizes is legal sports gambling in the states.
Now that we're at this stage, I mean, and the shotgun reaction by track owners, track management, Casinos Atlantic City, they're thinking of doing it quickly, and I think Monmouth Park wanted to have this instituted as quickly as Memorial Day weekend, where State Senate President Steve Sweeney is saying, wait a second, we also have a little legislation here that until we come up with the hows and the whys of how this is going to operate, you could start it, but then once we put the rules into play, you're going to have to stop it. So it's, some people have to sit in their hands, apparently. What is it the state has to do now to make sure, at least by foundation ideas, for this to really work to a maximum benefit?
Yeah, I mean, I think they really need to hash out tax rates, how people are going to report income, what they're going to need to do to get a license, if they need a specific license. I mean, I think because of the way that the Jersey law was written, and now it stands because the Supreme Court agreed with them, is basically at casinos and racetracks, you can have sports betting. So they could do that. And it's true that if the New Jersey regulators tinker with it a little bit over time, which always happens, they might have to adjust how they offer their products or how they report income and all of that. But, I mean, New Jersey will most likely be the first to have it available legally. And, yeah, things are going to change over time in New Jersey and all the rest of the states that are going to do it. But we should see this coming out, rolling out pretty quickly.
Does this include just a physical structure sports book, or is online sports betting going to be part of the package?
Yeah, that's when things get really tricky, and I'm already, like, preparing for more court cases because, well, online, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, they all have online gambling now, as well as Nevada. But there's this other law from the 1960s, the Wire Act, the only kind of, and it's debatable whether or not it applies to the Internet since the Internet didn't exist in 1961. But, you know, that says that basically interstate communication facilities can't be used for sports betting. So that gets a little bit tricky if you want to do so online in the state. That should be fine. Sports betting in New Jersey, if they want to do it, totally fine, as long as they keep it in New Jersey. However, once you start compacting with other states, if you want to share players, share products, you know, Nevada, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, you might or might not see some lawsuits come out of that. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see any lawsuits because everybody's going to be making money off of it. I don't see why someone would necessarily want to stop that, but you never know.
This is true. We're talking with Michelle Minton, CEI, Senior Fellow Consumer Policy Expert. CEI.org is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I believe, if I'm recalling right with the legislation, it's a $400,000 fee to open up a sports book operation, and I believe the state's take is 17.5%. That sounds a bit high.
Yeah, I mean, compared to what Pennsylvania was proposing, it's low. I think Pennsylvania's is like 34%.
Whoa.
But 17 is high. I think Nevada's rate is something like 6.5%. And a lot of studies, you know, Eilers and Krejcik, they're a really big gambling analysis company, and they've looked at it and they said, really, once you get over 15%, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot as a state because that high level of tax rate stops people from getting involved. And that really just reduces the amount of money the state's going to make. So, I mean, I think New Jersey might start at 17, but depending on what Delaware, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania do, they might ultimately bring it down a little bit.
Because when we look at how New Jersey legislature has treated the New Jersey gambling industry, it hasn't been the most friendly, and it hasn't, and the gambling industry itself has. Hadn't seen the tomorrow. They were living in the today. So when Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, and et cetera, mm-hmm. opened up, they were not prepared to counter that, and they found themselves in the hole. So with a high state vig on sportsbook, they might wind up losing again to surrounding states who might offer better deals for bettors.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope some of the lawmakers in New Jersey are making that case, saying, "Look, we've done this before. We thought we were the only people on the Eastern Seaboard who were offering gambling, and that." Was not the case after 10. You know, I was born in Philadelphia, so I've just watched that town explode with gambling opportunities. And if they do the same thing with sports betting, you know, West Virginia is going to have a pretty friendly regime. Pennsylvania, not so much. We'll see what Delaware does. I imagine it'll be pretty friendly. They could end up, you know, playing catch up a couple years from now where all the sports gambling meccas are around them, not in Atlantic City.
Certainly hoping for the better, because if you go to Atlantic City right now compared to 5 years ago, it is a ghost town in a variety of ways, and it's kind of sad, too, with all the hope and potential that was there. So hopefully second time will be the charm for the gambling industry in the state as well as the state legislature. Learn more about this issue, a variety of issues, actually, that the Competitive Enterprise Institute focuses on. Their website is CEI.org. And she is a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute as well as a consumer policy expert. Michelle Minton, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.